Everybody ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Preach it, sister.
Preach it. I got my amen section over here, praise God. You know, before we got saved, before we came to the Lord has this way of getting our attention. You know that cliche, that phrase the world uses, stuck between a rock and a hard place? Before you got saved, anybody? Did you get saved because you were stuck between a rock and a hard place? I mean, where was there else to go, right? So now we're saved, praise God, we're going to heaven. But does anybody still feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm hoping to bring a little clarity to the reason you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Only now the good news is, and the title of the teaching is, you're stuck between the rock and a hard place. Okay? I won't keep the title a secret for the next 20 minutes like my husband does. And I'm even going to tell you the numbers before they come. Okay. And I've asked the Lord to bring up some good jokes about my husband. But I don't know if he will or not. I'm not as much of a clown as he is, but praise God. I thank God that he makes the word palatable. Amen. Okay, would you please turn to Exodus 33? Okay, Exodus 33, we're going to talk about being between the rock and a hard place. And I have good news and bad news. And we'll get to all that. Okay, Exodus 33, verse 12. And if everybody would like to proclaim the word with me so you can get set free. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, then do not bring us up from here. And how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "There is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Now this talks about a whole lot of stuff. But basically what it's saying is that, you know, Moses went before God and said, "Yo, God," you know, Moses felt like he was in a hard place. Amen. So he went to God and he said, "You said, I found favor in your sight. You said that you know my name. Now help me with these people, because they're your people." And so God not only said that he would help him, but he also said that he would reveal himself to him. So being that God is so amazing that he can't reveal his whole self to us, he hid him where? He hid him in the cleft of the rock. So in this Old Testament scripture, this represents Christ Jesus, okay? So the rock here is Christ Jesus, and so in this scripture, God's revealing the rock is our protection. And it's protection from even his judgment, because God is so powerful, Moses is just a man. He can't look in the face of God. He's going to die. Okay, Exodus 17:3. Between the rock and a hard place. So God gave Moses a whole lot of analogies to him being the rock and that he was the protection. Amen. And here we're going to see God, the rock, as the provision. And Exodus 17:3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children, our livestock, with thirst?" So Moses cried out to God, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." So here's Moses again going to God with these people because they're God's people. And the people are not only complaining against Moses, but they're ready to kill him. And so here you're seeing, you know, the man of God struggling with his disciples, so to speak. And, you know, they're coming against the man of God, which is coming against God. Amen. But God still has mercy on them, even in their grumbling, and he gives them provision from the rock. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, darling. It's not easy sitting up here when your husband's like the best Bible teacher you know. Hallelujah. Good day to die. Psalm 18. Thank you for trusting me with your pulpit. 1-3. Oh, thank God for the rock. Thank God for the rock. Psalm 18, verses 1-3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Well, praise God. So here we are. We get saved. We come out from the rock and the hard place of the world. And we get saved and we find this amazing place to dwell. We find that God, our rock, gives us provision. We find that God, our rock, gives us protection. And we just begin to praise him from the depth of our being for what he is doing in our lives. Amen? Unfortunately, us flesh creatures don't tend to stay there too long. Let's go to Psalm 27 while we're in the Psalms. We begin to forget what God's done for us. We begin to forget about the provider and the protector and try to start doing it in our own strength again. Psalm 27, verses 5 and 6. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. That's a place God wants us to stay. Amen. God wants us to get to a place where you don't need pastor up here being your cheerleader to cause you to praise.
Amen.
He wants you to get to a place where you praise God because he's God.
Amen.
I'll never forget one time when I was, you know, just going through stuff like we all do, bouncing off the rock and the hard place like a little, what are those? What is that game, hon? Pinball, thank you. Like a little pinball, right? Bouncing back and forth. And you know, sometimes we come to worship and it's easy, and sometimes we come to worship and it's hard. And the devil shows you all your sin and all your garbage, and you have a hard time entering into God's presence. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, such and such this, and hallelujah. And so I was just trying to come out of my little self and worship God, and I had to go to the bathroom. I came back, and on the way up the aisle, the Lord said something to me that I'll never forget. And he said, "Your sin does not change my character." I couldn't have made that up, guys. Okay? And I thought about that for a minute because I heard it very clearly. And what he was saying was that it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter where I'm bouncing around between the rock and the hard place. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. God is still God, and he commands for me to praise him. And ever since he said that to me, and I think you guys should write that down, because if I got revelation and I speak it to you, you can have it too, so take it. Your sin does not change his character. Amen? Take it. So the next time you come into worship, don't make pastor have to be your cheerleader. Just do it, because God is God. We're going to go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 2. Oh, thank God for the rock. Are you standing on the rock? That's a choice, you know. Amen. Okay. Yeah, he puts you there, but it's your choice to stay on or get off. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 1. Am I in the right place? No. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, I found it. 1 Samuel. That was for you, babe. I planned that. Not. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Okay, we're going to start at verse 1. Oh, Hannah had a hard time. You know, having babies was a sign of their fulfillment, a woman's fulfillment. You know, the man was the head, the man was everything. Pretty much what the women did was they bore their husband's children. And if they could not bear their husband's children, they felt like they were nothing. And so Hannah was praying to God. And in chapter 2, Hannah said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among the princes, and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked he shall be silent in darkness." So here's Hannah. She was rebuking the priest because he was coming against her for her beliefs and for crying out to God, telling her that she was drunk. And she said, "Oh no, be quiet." And she began exalting God, her rock. She wasn't going to let anybody come against what God was giving her to believe in and believe for. And so she just began to exalt God out of her mouth. And in another version of the Bible where it says, "I smile at me at my enemies," it says, "My mouth is enlarged." She was praising God with her mouth. She wasn't going to have a mental debate with anybody. You guys know that the devil's smarter than you are? You try having a mental debate with him, you will lose every time, I promise. But check out that last verse, okay? After she worships God, in verse number 9, it says that he will guard the feet of his saints, that's you, and the wicked shall be silent, for by strength no man shall prevail. Okay? So when we find ourselves saved and we, you know, these verses go on and on about what God has done for us. He's taken away our barrenness. He's given us food. He's made the weak strong. And, you know, that's how we feel when we come to the Lord, right? We're just glorifying him. We're so excited. We're praising God. We're thankful for where he has placed us. We're glorifying the rock, and our feet, we think, are just going to stay steadfast on that rock, right? Well, hallelujah. You know, what I'm trying to bring you today is to understand the character of God and understand your walk. So you start out as babies. God pulls you out of the mess, and he sets your feet upon the rock, and he changes your diapers and all that other good stuff. He feeds you. And then all of a sudden you start growing up. Does anybody here have any teenagers? Raise your hand if you've got teenagers. Okay. Our teenagers are a little rough, man. My daughter's a teenager and she's only 10. They start thinking they know it all, right? I mean, come on, you're teenagers. You can't tell them nothing. They know everything. You just got to let them fall down on their face in order for them to figure it out, right? Teenagers are rough. And so I want you to know that probably in a large percentage of the people sitting here, you are teenagers. Okay, you come to the Lord, you get your feet on the rock, he sets you all up real nice and pretty, and all of a sudden you slack off because you know it all. And you're our kids, right? So when you act like that, we'll just call you a I know-it-all. When my daughter gets like that, we call her Alyssa, I know-it-all. And so that's a hard place to be, because teenagers really do things in their own strength. They don't need their mom and dad. They don't need to be told what to do. They got it all handled. I got this, right? And so this is what it says in verse 9. It says, for by strength no man shall prevail. And this is about the time where God lets you start falling on your face and you feel like you're bouncing around in that pinball machine again between that rock and hard place. You know, and then you start to wonder, oh, man, what just happened? I thought I was okay. God shook me off, cleaned me all up. He was feeding me. Everything was okay. And now I'm in a mess again. Okay? So far, there hasn't been too much good news. But we're going to get to it, okay? I told you I had good news and bad news. Okay, Psalm 78. We're going to start going through these scriptures a little fast because I've been known to have to take up 2 CDs, and we don't want that to happen again.
No, we don't.
No. In verse 15, Psalm 78, verse 15. Everybody there? It says, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drinks in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the wilderness and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him, and they rebelled against the Most High in the wilderness. Now here these people, they saw the Red Sea split. You know, they knew Moses was the man of God. I mean, the Red Sea split before him. And yet they still grumbled against him. So they weren't trusting in God. Go to Deuteronomy 32. And they began to grumble. And that's what happens when we start to feel like we're okay. And when you start to think you're okay and start to grumble against the men and women of God, you're a fool. I talked to a foolish person this morning. And really, all you can do is shake your head because you know what's coming, but they don't. They'll figure it out, though, teenager. They'll figure it out. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without prejudice. Righteous and upright is he. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish. A perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who has brought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided the inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Do you know that you are the Lord's inheritance? Think about that. That is powerful, man. Here is God who created the entire universe, and he says that you are his inheritance. So when you find yourself, you know, thinking that you got it, just think again, because you're never going to be okay. Amen? For when you trust in your own strength, you will fail. Go to John 3, please. So first we found the rock, and he fed us, and he hit us in the cleft. Now we're bouncing around in our own strength again, wondering what's going on. Wondering why we're thirsty, wondering why we're hungry, wondering why people are coming against us, wondering why it's not easy. In John 3, in verse 19 and 20, I just want to mention the hard place that we came out of. So we can kind of grumble against God and all the trials and tribulations that we go through when we start becoming teenagers. Or we could go back to the world. That's another choice. Okay, because that's the hard place. And in verse 19, John 3:19, it says, "This is the condemnation that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed." You know, I'm just wanting to exhort, especially the disciples here, or those, you know, that are still finding yourselves. We find this really wonderful place with the Lord and it lasts for a season. And now we find ourselves falling on our face again. I'm just trying to exhort you that you are not alone, man. We all go through this. Why do we go through this? Because that's a character of God. Because that's God's plan. I don't like it any more than you do. But I want to exhort you that there is a place. There is a place through all of this that you can get to where none of it matters. So, you know, I was talking to somebody last week who was vacillating between staying here or going back to the world. Now, they're still a babe, and God is still trying to just love on them and feed them and shelter them. And this person said to me, "I want rock and roll. I want the world. I want to be able to go to bars." And I thought, my God, you have no idea what you're saying. You have no idea. But God is still merciful and still poured out of his rock. And the person came to their senses, at least for the moment. But, you know, sometimes we just don't know where we're at. We don't know where our evil hearts are. And that's why God gave you leaders, spiritual parents, so to speak, people that have been around a little longer than you, to guide you, to direct you, to love on you. And I want to suggest that maybe you listen to what they have to say, because they might know a few things, okay? Unless you would. If you want to stay a teenager, have at it, okay? Or you can grow up to be one of those leaders, to be one of those people who guides, okay? You know, teenagers sound foolish. A lot of what comes out of their mouth to a mature person just sounds dumb. Watch your mouth, man. You just sound dumb. Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Preach it, sister.
I'm preaching it. Okay. On your way to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to save a scripture and just let you know. Go to 2 Corinthians, and while you're going there, I want to tell you. The Bible says in Matthew, you've heard this a gazillion times, in Matthew 7:14. The road is narrow and difficult. Everybody say narrow and difficult. Hard place. Okay, so who said that the road is narrow and difficult? Pastor and Kate? No, it's not our idea. I'm just telling you. The Lord said the road is narrow and difficult. Okay? So when you start whining and crying and moaning about all your difficulties, we don't have a whole lot of sympathy for you. We've been through it already. We're on the other side of it. We're going to help you get to the other side of it. I came across a person the other day who was sitting crying. Woo! They had stayed home from work and just couldn't find their way out of the rock and the hard place. Woo! Well, thank God, you know, the Lord sent one of the elders of the church across their path and looked at them, and I said, stop it right now. I said, call it by the fruit and name it. And the person began to say, rejection, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Fear, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And on, jealousy, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I said, now look at me. I said, I agree with her in the name of Jesus. Come out. I said, no, it's all done. Quit crying and get back to work. I'm serious. That's about as simple as it is when you quit bouncing around between the rock and the hard place. We're trying to get you to that place, teenagers. Okay? So that night, I saw the same person just gloriously rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? Praise God? Mary's amen in back there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anyway, in 2 Corinthians 4, yeah, she got back on the rock. She was getting sucked up by the sinking sand. She had jumped off the rock, and she needed a little help getting back on. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. This is a process. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Oh, thank you for the rock. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember, we just read about the world being the darkness, okay? And the people that are in the darkness don't want to be near the light. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. Say hard place. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death. Say hard place. Death hurts. For Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. For since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Now hear what I just said. We believe, therefore we spoke. So this person that was struggling, I made her speak it. God placed his spirit in you. Spirit means breath. If you just grumble and complain and whine and cry and don't begin to speak forth by the Spirit of God, you're going to stay in that mess for a while. And not only that, you're going to take some people in the quicksand with you. Amen?
Amen.
So what I'm trying to share with you is there's the rock. There's a God of our salvation. But you don't just come out and jump up on the rock and stay on the rock, because God is going to put you through some hard times. He is going to perfect you so that you can be used. It's a process. Wherever you are in the process, it's okay. But choose God's process, because if you try to do it your own way, it's just going to take a whole lot longer if you make it. If you make it. And that's why when I hear these foolish people, I think, dear God, help them. Help them. In Matthew, we're not going to go there. I'll have you go to another scripture, I'll tell you. Head to Ephesians 1. My husband talks all the time about the anointing. All the time. Why? Because we were saved to preach the good news. We were saved to preach the gospel, to set the captives free. And so the good news is, we're getting to the good news now, that there is a place that you're going to get once you have learned and grown and come out of being from a baby to a teenager. And listen, a wise teenager still listens to their parents, guys. A wise teenager does. All right? A foolish teenager going to be a teenager longer. Then there's people that are like 17 years old, and they're pretty wise. Yeah, lift your hands and get a drink. My husband's looking for some breeze. Hard sitting over there, isn't it, Pastor?
I love it.
Okay. So the good news is that, okay, get a picture of this, guys. Between the rock and the hard place, there's this sweet spot. Between the rock and the hard place, there's a sweet spot. It's kind of small. It's narrow. It's difficult to get there, but when you tap into it, and this morning the Lord showed me, God says we're trees of righteousness, and he showed me that a maple tree. And so I want you to think of this maple tree, but when you tap into just the right place, that's where the maple syrup is. Ooh, that's a sweet spot. You know, you don't have, there's nothing in maple syrup. There's no sugar in that stuff. It's just sweet. God just made it like that. So there is a place that you can get if you're wise and you do the things I'm going to tell you to do to get there, stay there, where you can grow quickly, that you can be that hand that can reach out to the one that's sinking in the sand, okay? You don't want to be the blind leading the blind, amen? You want to be able to help people out. People struggle. I struggle. I found the sweet spot, thank God. That's why I can tell you about this, but I still have times where I have to send out a lifeline to my husband. How would you guys like to find a spot where your trials and tribulations don't matter anymore? Where your relationships are good and strong in the Lord? How would you like to come to a place where you trust God for your cross and can embrace your cross instead of trying to push it away all the time? That's the sweet spot. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy all the time. But when you get to that spot, that's where the anointing is. And when you learn to stay there, Christianity just got a whole lot weaker. And now you're walking in the power. And now you can just reach over to somebody and say, stop it. Get up in the name of Jesus and pull them out. You got to quit bouncing back and forth. I'm going to tell you how to do it today. It's your choice whether you do it or not. Or you can grumble against me. You can grumble against Pastor and what we teach and still act foolish. That's your choice. Okay? But you are in the army of God. Amen. You got to grow up. You got to stay in rank. We got to walk together. There's coming a time where if you fall down, we're not going to be able to turn around and pick you up. We're going to just keep on marching. And you're going to be back there and you will perish. And I'm not talking about just your fleshly circumstances and your home and your children and all that. I'm talking heaven and hell. This is serious. But I'm trying to get you to a place of tapping into the sweet spot. Anybody want to go there? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, Ephesians 1. Let's find the sweet spot. Tap into that maple syrup. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, in the anointing, in the sweet spot. Just as he chose us, he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love, not bouncing around from side to side, not being swayed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the goodwill of his pleasure. That's the sweet spot, where you're walking in the anointing and you're not moved anymore. Go to Hebrews 4. So that's the good news. Between the rock and the hard place, there's a sweet spot. But you don't get to just jump there. Nobody, there's no microwave answer. You got to go through what you got to go through to get there. But we want to help you. If you're willing to listen. Teenagers don't listen. You want to be a teenager, you want to be wise. My daughter read the Message version of a proverb the other day. And it said, you fool, you idiot. You wanted things your way, now you got it. You made your bed now. How do you like it? Lie in it. And I won't be there when you call upon me the next time. Because you rejected my wisdom and my counsel. There's going to come a day where God's going to say, I'm done. And he's going to leave you when you fall down. Amen? So let's get to the sweet spot and stay there. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath they did not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. That's a sweet spot. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience. You know what, you guys, before you get to that place where you know what to do, when you have reached that place, the good news is, while you're bouncing, just be obedient. Just be obedient. You'll be protected in that obedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, the sweet spot for the people of God, even in their trials and tribulations. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his, has ceased from working in his own strength. That's what I'm talking about. Let us therefore be diligent to enter his rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience. So I'm going to tell you the secrets to entering into that rest, to entering into that sweet spot, okay? So you can get there quicker. So I'm going to give you, how long do I have, Pastor, another hour? I'm going to talk about repenting, okay. I'm going to give you 9 P's. P as in perfect. That's right. Oh, no, honey. Sit tight. I got the microphone now, baby. It's a good day to die. Okay, so I'm going to try to kind of quickly give you these. The first, number 1 P. I want you to write present / presence. Now, there's a reason why those words have the same root, okay? You have to stay in God's presence. That's where the anointing is. That's where the sweet spot is. God says, I am. When Moses asked, what's your name? I am. I say this all the time. God is not I was. He's not in your past. Hello? So when you learn and you're growing up what the character of God is, and you learn that God is I am, you'll be able to shut down those thoughts of the past and, okay, all those regrets, because God is I am. He's not I will be. He's not in your future. So don't go there. What if? What about? Okay, he'll be there when you get there. But he's not there now. So the number one P is present. Presence. In the present is his presence. If you get out of there, you are not in the sweet spot. Okay? In Isaiah 55, 6, and you don't have to go there, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Okay? Call upon him while he is near. You got to call upon him in the present. The second P, prayer. My husband says it all the time. Prayer is not a Santa Claus list to God. That's what we're taught. But we want you to mature past that. Even teenagers ought to be past that. That's how little kids pray. I want, I need, give me, give me, give me. Prayer is a two-way communication with God. If Jesus had to set himself apart to pray, don't you think you do? If you don't stay in these P's, you're not going to be in no sweet spot. Okay? Jesus had to pray. The first place that you need to start with in prayer is repentance. Always. If you come with your wish list before you examine yourself and look in the mirror, God doesn't even listen to you. You're dirty. You're not washed in the blood. Amen? Repentance comes before the blood. He can't hear you. Just don't bother. Waste your time. Okay, so listen, when you start to grow up in the things of God, looking at yourself in the mirror and what I call digging for dirt hurts so good. Everybody say hurts so good. It's okay now. It doesn't hurt anymore. Yeah, it hurts, but who cares? That's a sweet spot. Okay, now when you have a personal relationship with God, triune God, he's your Father. What father wants their child to just come to them before they even bother to say, I love you, Dad. I enjoy you, Dad. I want to be with you, Dad. And say, can I have the keys to the car? Give me 20 bucks. Hello? He's your father. Come to him like that. Give him the respect that he deserves, not your wish list. He's your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. Without him, you're sunk. Amen? You just keep bouncing around. If you need a Savior, which, by the way, you always will, come to him with that reverence that he is your Savior. And the Holy Spirit, he's your helper. So you've got your Father, your Savior, your helper. If you don't come to him with prayer, you're just not going to stay in that spot. It makes Christianity no fun. What did I get saved for in the first place? I want to tell you, it is fun. It's fun pulling somebody out of pit in 2 seconds time and just keep on going. Going, what was that? Wow, that was fun. Okay, the third P. Proactive pursuit. Proactive. You got to do something. I asked my daughter the other day, can a child be saved because her parents are Christians? Can you go to heaven because you sat under this word and didn't do anything with it? You have to be proactive. Psalm 28. You got to call upon the rock. Psalm 28, verses 1 and 2. Everybody read that with me, please, like you mean it. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me. Lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you, when I lift my hands towards your holy sanctuary. That's a whole lot more proactive than whining and crying. Amen? And God will hear you and he'll pull you out of the pit. Now, mind you, David didn't just write this down. He spoke it. Proactive. Listen, God isn't just going to bop down with a magic wand and save you. He's not going to change the things that you don't want changed. He's not going to change the things that you haven't sought change from. He's not going to change the things that you haven't even admitted to yet. Like your stinking teenage pride. Ooh, I hate that thing. Number four, Pete. Priorities. And you can write down the scripture, but we don't have to go there. You already know it. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Does that sound like a sweet spot? Praise God. So that is keeping you all the way back to number one, being in the present. You have to set your priorities right. These are kingdom priorities. If your priorities as a teenager, okay, I don't have to do my daily confessions. I don't have to do my deliverance prayers. I'm going to eat and run. I got to get to work. I got to pay the bills. You're going to end up right back bouncing around again until you learn how to stay in that spot. Number five, go to James 1, please. The fifth P is patience. James 1, verse 2. Oh, do you know that there really is a spot that you can count it all joy? I know a lot of people it's words on a page, and it's hard to really believe that there is a place like that, but there really is. This is what I want you to get today. There really is a place. Don't grow weary. There's a place. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into the hard place. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Patience. Patience with yourself, patience with your walk, patience with other people. Number six. Well, actually, I want to go to Acts 14. We're still on patience. I'm going to show you another place where God says it's supposed to be hard. So when you're going through stuff and thinking that you're the only one, God says. This is a pretty powerful verse. I never saw this until I was doing this study. Acts 14:22. This is what we're here for today. We're here to strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many hard places, enter the kingdom of God. Okay, number six, 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, the sixth P. This is very important. Punish disobedience. Woohoo! Do you know that you can really get to a place where you can punish disobedience? What's disobedience? Sin, the presence of evil, where you can come to a place to say, oh no, you don't. I'm going to punish that disobedience, that presence of evil. Oh no, you don't. I recognize you. The number six, P, punishing disobedience, 2 Corinthians 10. In verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the sweet spot. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Remember I told you when you haven't got there yet, when you're still kind of bouncing around, just be obedient. Just listen to us. I'm telling you, we know what we're talking about. I don't know how I got here or why I got here for y'all. That's why. But I thank God that finally I got to a place that there is a sweet spot. Do I struggle? Yes, I struggle. Do we go have our difficulties? Of course we do. But we've gotten to a place that it really, I can punish disobedience. Because I've been obedient, now I recognize who told me that, okay? Who told me that? And I can cast down that thought. I recognize it. I recognize it for what it is. And I say no. Okay, so that is the sixth P. I told you before, this is not a mental exercise. You've got to do it with your mouth. The seventh P, which there's three P's in the seventh P, so. Praise, / proclaim, / prophesy. You are filled with the Spirit of God for a reason. You have to speak it. That's why the person that I found in trouble, I said, speak it. I've had somebody, my sweet Melinda over here, who has found the sweet spot. Thank you, Jesus. I would talk to her, and she'd be calling with all her stuff bouncing. I could see her bouncing. She wasn't getting any points either. And I would say, you go outside of your job right now, and you start speaking. Oh, no, you don't, devil. Greater is he who is in me. I will not tolerate you. You got to speak it. You got to start praising God in your trials and tribulations. He's your rock. You got to just praise him because he is. When you're going through it, praise. Prophesy. Prophesy over your life. Amen? God says to preach it to every creature. You've got to speak it over your own life. The tears and the moaning and the wailing ain't going to get the job done, guys. You're just going to stay there and you're going to miss more days of work. You got to speak it. Number 8, practice. Go to Colossians 1. We're almost there, Alyssa. Colossians 1. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Ooh, I like this sweet spot. I like it, I like it, I like it. And guess what? When you find it, people don't like you. But that's okay, too. Colossians 1:23. I could care less. I'm just glad to be here. I bounced around long enough. Woohoo! Colossians 1:23. Practice. If indeed you practice, continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to you, to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You have to continue. Continue in the faith. Go to Hebrews 5. Even when it feels bad, even when you feel like you're bouncing around, even when you're saying, God, why me? Because that's your cross. Because that's the way God's bringing you to a place of perfection. Hebrews 5, please. Verses 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use. Reason of use, what does that mean? Practice. Practice, practice, practice. Okay? By reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They're able to punish disobedience because they've practiced. Amen?
Amen.
And then you get to the sweet spot. Okay, and the last P, persistence and perseverance. And I'm going to just tell you in 2 Thessalonians, it says, do not grow weary in doing what is good. Go to 2 Peter, please. Two more scriptures. I can tell you this because I have lived this. I've had to repent the whole way. There was a time where I was wondering why I was so miserable inside when I was, you know, smiling on the outside and trying to be the good pastor's wife, but resentful that my husband was not my husband. Being resentful that I have 8 people working in my house every single day. I can't even find my kitchen to make the dinner. And God very much dealt with me. We're going to go to 1 Peter 1. And he gave me a verse that said, because you have not been grateful to me for all I have done for you, I'm going to put a yoke of iron around your neck, and I'm going to make you serve your enemies till you die. Ouch. Well, I'm not at that verse. I'm just telling you about my story. Just stay there. When I was bouncing back and forth, wondering why? Why am I stuck here? Why? I'm just trying to tell you, we all go through it, guys. But that's the answer God gave me. Oh, that was real nice and gentle, Dad. I'm going to make you serve your enemies till you die. I had to repent in a hurry for being resentful, for not being grateful for what God had given me, even if it was a hard place. And when I got to the place of embracing that cross, of being cheerful and joyful, even if I didn't feel like being, even if I thought that the cross was too hard and too heavy for me, that's what the Lord was using to perfect me. And he brought me to a wonderful place. And I'm just asking you guys, look in the mirror. See why God is using your circumstances. See why you are in your hard place, why you are carrying your cross. God made it that way for a reason. Don't buck against it. It's supposed to be like that. Persistence and perseverance. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the Lord, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has caused us by glory and virtue, called us, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Does that sound like the sweet spot? Okay, I want to go to verse 5, please. But also for this reason, giving all diligence. Now this is where it's the persistence and the patience and the endurance. Add to you your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Okay, that's when you start to stumble. Last scripture, 1 Peter 1. Praise God. Thank you for allowing me to share with you today. The sweet spot is where you guys are able to say, yeah, the walk is hard, but it hurts so good. Amen? And really mean it. 1 Peter 1, 7. Winding up, Lord, thank you. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You guys, you're being tested by fire. You're in a hard place. We've been in the hard place. We're still in a hard place. We just found the sweet spot in the hard place. I want to encourage you and exhort you. There is that place. Just press on. Stay there. Listen to those that God has given you to help you. Amen. And you will find it too. And you get glimpses of it now. But there's a place that you just kind of hang there. And it's a really good place to be. And I thank God. So, Father, we just thank you for your word today, Lord God. We apply the blood of Jesus to this seed. Father, I apply the blood of Jesus to our hearts and our minds. I'm asking you to protect this seed, Lord God. Lord, I'm asking you to bring us to a place, Father. Bring all these people and those whose lives they will go out to touch to that sweet place in you, Lord God, to the land flowing with milk and honey, to that place where even in our tribulations and trials and persecutions, we can say, praise be to the God of our salvation. praise be to the rock, that we can praise you and honor you and glorify you no matter what we're going through. And even while we're going through things, we can still reach out and pull others out of their things. I thank you, Father, for getting our eyes off of ourselves, and that as we help others, Lord, you bring us to that special place, Father. Lord, I thank you for these people of God who are growing and maturing, Lord God. I thank you for your word that will not come back void. And I ask you to bless them today as they go about your business and practice their peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.